You all to turn with me to the letter of Philemon, the letter to Philemon that Paul wrote. You'll find it right after Titus and right before Hebrews. The letter to Philemon. Don't ask me why I've got this. It would not leave. Philemon, Philemon, Philemon. So I got about 10 pages. I don't know how far we'll get with this. But I'm the type that told Mary I can't help it. When I study something, I'll go sideways. I'll examine it from every angle. I'll get up high and look down at it, and I'll dig underneath and look up at it. That's just the way I am. Maybe one scripture will be there, and I'll pitch a tent over it. I'll stay right there till I get something. I'll dig. You know, you can find all kind of straw and wood on top of the surface, but you got to go beneath the surface to get the coal, and you got to go deeper than the coal to get the diamonds and to get the gold. You do. There's golden nuggets to be found in God's Word. Now, what I want to attempt to do, I want you to pray for my throat. I'm going to read this whole chapter, first chapter and only chapter. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved. I want you to notice, if you notice nothing else at all, is the love that the Apostle Paul has for people. Dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may be become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, I beg, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, that thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. And if he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, anything, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But with all prayer prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, and Aristarchus, and Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Written from Rome to Philemon when Paul was in a Roman prison. Amen. Now, we have three main characters in this little short letter, and they are each very, very important. We have Paul, and we have Philemon, and we have Onesimus. Philemon lived at Colossae, and Paul wrote this letter to him while he was in prison at Rome. Philemon was a leader among the believers, and the church met together in Philemon's house to worship. He had a church in his house. It seems that Philemon was a man of high standing. He was a man of means. I looked at him real close in this, and it seemed like that he was able to communicate his goods, so he was well off. He was probably wealthy. He owned a servant and a slave. He might have had others. Onesimus was his servant, his slave. It seems that he was a man of high standing, and Philemon had been converted under Paul's ministry prior to this time. And it was well known that he was a man of faith and hospitality, and Philemon loved people. This letter that Paul wrote was unlike any of the other letters. This letter is the shortest that Paul wrote, and it was written just to Philemon and not to the churches like the others were. The letter dealt with one issue. It was about Onesimus, Philemon's servant that walked out on him and left him. If I could title this morning, I really don't know, Reconciliation Through a Mediator. How many knows what reconciliation is? To reconcile means to reach out there and bring back those that have drifted and those that have walked out. And a separation between two different parties, and a mediator is a go-between. He's a middleman. And he's like an arbitrator. And he works in the middle to reconcile this one that has differences to this one over here. They've been a falling out, and they've been some hurt feelings, and the mediator talks it over with this one, and then he goes over to this one, and he talks to this one, and his endeavor is to let this one know that this one loves him, and to let this one know that this one over here loves him, and that God can heal the gap. Huh? To let this one know if you've hurt this one over here, if you need to make it up. Huh? If you've sinned and you've done something wrong to hurt this one over here, this arbitrator, this mediator, how many knows there's one God and there's one mediator between God and man? That's the man Christ Jesus. He never loses a battle. Amen. But he's able to reach right over here to this one and say, listen, my dear brother, you've messed up and you've offended this one over here. And what you need to do, you need to pray about it. God loves you. And now there's a separation here, and God only works in unity, and he can't work in confusion. And God will bless you if you'll just make it up to him. And that mediator, after he tells that one that, and he'll go over here and tell this one, says, now I talked to him, and I let him know, and please, don't give up on him. Don't give up on him. I want you to love him. I want you to forgive him. I don't want you to hold anything in your heart against him. I don't want you to have any hard feelings against that man over there. Did you know we're short of mediators in the church? Did you know we need mediators in a family? Did you know we need some go-betweens? Did you know sometimes one phone call could heal up a problem? Did you know one visit could heal up a problem? To let people know that God ain't gave up on them, and to let them know that God still loves them, and to let them know that the church loves them. Come on now. There's people drifting, and they're walking out, and they're leaving. And I'm telling you, their biggest enemy sometimes is old self. Huh? We've got a big enemy, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's like a lion that roars after its prey. And he's lying to people and telling people that nobody cares about them, nobody loves them. Yes, they do. And what Paul's trying to endeavor to do here is to send Onesimus back to Philemon. But the only way he can do it, he's going to have to soft talk Philemon. Philemon has been hurt. Onesimus defrauded him, stole some stuff off of him, and ran to Rome. And Philemon is hurt, and he's cut to the quick over it because he's been two-timed. Amen. The second person that we have is Onesimus. Onesimus in this story, in this letter, was a slave and a servant that belonged to Philemon. He also lived at Colossae with Philemon. He worked and did service for his master Philemon. But Onesimus did his master wrong. He defrauded him in some way and he fled. He was a runaway slave that left Philemon's house and escaped to Rome to keep from being caught. And Onesimus sought to blend in with the crowd at Rome and start his life all over new again. But it was here at Rome that he came in contact with a man of God. How many is glad God sometimes can put somebody right in your pathway? Huh? How many knows the Lord can send somebody right along to your doorstep? Right to you on your job. God can send a man of God alone. Amen. Hallelujah. But it was here he came face to face. This poor lost soul was a runaway slave. And he came face to face with the great Apostle Paul. Now the third individual we have in this story, very important, was the great Apostle Paul himself. We have him, the man who loves souls. Brother Ray, he would do everything he could to bring people to God. How many knows we need somebody to do everything they can do to bring people to God? Huh? Paul's main goal was to win souls to Christ. Now remember, the Lord had given him the ministry of reconciliation. To get sinful men to repent of their wrongs and to reunite them back to their God that they had offended. Paul was a man of great love for God, and he loved people. One thing about Paul, he could not stand to see someone done wrong. I cannot stand myself to see somebody done wrong. It hurts me to see somebody misjudged. Come on. Sometimes you just don't know all about it. But God does. God knows the reasons. God knows why things tick. You don't. We can put a bad label upon somebody and a bad label upon a situation. And God says it's far from how you're thinking, son. I hate to see people done wrong and judged wrong. Paul couldn't stand it. He couldn't stand to see people divided and separated. And pulled apart. He always preached unity. And he preached forgiveness. Hallelujah. I like to look at it like this. We are the church. And we're members one of another. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And we're members of the church being united together that makes up the body of Christ. Could you raise your hand and say, thank God that there should be no division or schism in the body, but there should be unity there, amen, and the love of God, which is the sweet spirit. So, Paul deals with one issue in this letter. The main theme is forgiveness and harmony. In this letter to Philemon, Paul intercedes for Onesimus. He wants Onesimus to return and go back to Philemon, to his call of duty. And he desires in this letter for Philemon to forgive and accept his servant back. This holy man of God, full of the Holy Ghost, intercedes for Philemon and Onesimus.
that the gap would be closed up between them and the breach would be healed, and that there would be harmony once again in the house of Philemon. Now, we could study this lesson, and I'm telling you, I've went at every angle. Some of these angles are going to hit us. I don't know how. And God be my witness, I had nobody in my heart or in my mind whatsoever in this church to aim this to anybody. It would not leave it. It would not leave my heart. I don't know where it's going, I'll be honest. But I believe we all could learn. If we end up going through something, maybe somewhere down the road, this lesson will come back to us. Now, we could look three different ways at this. We could look, Ronnie Ray, through the eyes of Philemon and study it from that angle. Hey, I was defrauded. I was done wrong. Now listen, my servant sinned against me, and he walked out on me, and he left me. Now look all the trouble he's caused me. Look what he did to me. Look what he did to my family. Look what the hardships he's brought in, and the feelings that's in the church now. Look at the pain and the trouble and the confusion that Onesimus has caused. Hey, I've been done wrong. How many's ever been done wrong? How many, be honest, it's been hard for you to forgive, and you've had to pray to ask God to put that forgiving spirit in your heart. That's what God wants. And that's what the great apostle Paul, the greatest teacher of all men, the Holy Ghost through him, was interceding for Philemon. I know you've been hurt, son. I know you've been cut to the quick. But you're going to have to forgive. How many knows if we want to be forgiven, we've got to forgive ourselves. When we stand praying, let's forgive that the Lord may also forgive us our trespasses. Huh? If I hold something in my heart, or if I hold an ought in my heart, God will not receive my gift at the altar. But I've got to go and I've got to reconcile myself back to my offended brother. Brother, if I've said anything to hurt you, if I painted a bad light, if I've showed a bad spirit, if I've hurt you in any way, I ask you to forgive me. And I prayed over it. And I don't mean to cause any trouble. And I don't want to cause a battle in your mind and in your heart. That's what it's all about this morning. It's God's wanting unity in the church, and he's wanting a love that'll reach out to one another. Amen. That devil's a divider, and he drives wedges, and he separates husbands and wives, and he separates church members. But through Jesus, through that great mediator on high, I believe that God will give us a good spirit and let us love one another. Don't you? Well, we could look at it through the eyes of Onesimus. Hey, I have my own rights. Ain't that like the young generation today? I don't want anybody telling me what to do or how to live. I got my rights. I like my freedom. And I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. You must remember, though, Onesimus was not a Christian when he left Philemon. That is the big difference. I'm tired of these rules and all of these thou shalt's and thou shalt not's. All these church services in my master's house and all these holy people that live so strict, and they testify, and I can hear them testifying in there in that church service how you got to live holy and how you have to treat your neighbor right and how you have to love everybody and be honest and be just. And all they talk about is you have to serve God and you have to hate the world and you have to love the Lord and you got to pay your tithes and always you got to do good to others and you even got to love your enemies. We're looking at it through Onesimus' eyes now. Come on, you know what makes the big difference? Is when the love of Christ comes inside of you, you can see why thou shalt and thou shalt not. It'll make you want to love the Lord and serve the Lord. Raise your hand and just wave it to God. That's the big difference. Hallelujah. It's when your heart has been conditioned, when your heart has been touched, when that new birth comes on the inside. There's a love comes there even for your enemies. Hallelujah. Too many restrictions. It ain't for me. I don't believe you have to live like that. Is there any Onesimuses in here? Huh? Anybody that's on Onesimus? This way, I'm tired of it. I want my freedom. That's exactly what the prodigal son felt. I want my freedom. The Father's house, it's not enough really to make me happy anymore. I'm discontent. I believe I'll pack up my duds and load the wagons. She had it right the other night, and it was for more than one. There's people teeter-tottering. I'm telling you, I feel God from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. There is people teeter-tottering. You could go either way. But my advice to you is be ye reconciled and get back to God. Hurry. Hurry and do it. The devil is a destroyer. There's people tired of the way. And they're tired of the battles. And they're weary and they're worn. And the world's just shining lights to them. And maybe they're friends or whatever. But either way, they're discontent with the church life. And they're teeter-tottering. And they're just barely a thread holding some Onesimuses and prodigal sons from loading the wagons. And Father, give to me the portions of goods that fall to me, Lord. Give it to me, my Father. And pack up the mules and pack up the wagons. And take their journey into a far country, far away. And that's what Onesimus did. He defrauded Philemon. And he loaded his pockets with the money. And he was dishonest. He said, all I need now is a new life. I need something different. I'm ready for a change. And he runs to Rome. He don't know that Apostle Paul's in Rome in a prison jail. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, you can run, but you can't hide. There ain't a cover thick enough that you can hide from the eyes of God. Amen. A whale could swallow you up and take you down to the bottoms of the mountains. And the seaweeds wrapped around your neck. But lost prophet, backslider, running from God, disobedient to the Lord. No matter where you go, to the bottom of life's ocean, God sees you and God knows where you're at. You need to be reconciled. You need to be brought back. You need to make things right between you and God. Maybe it's not Philemon that you need to make things right with. And maybe it ain't me or Brother Ron, amen, or Brother Raymond, or Sister Barb that you need to make things right. But maybe it's God. Maybe it's the Lord you got tired of. Maybe it's the Lord you said, I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of the battle. And there's other things that I want. And I believe I'll just go into a far country. Hallelujah. Raise your hand and help me this morning. Oh, the beautiful art. The beautiful art of an intercessor. And the beautiful art of a mediator. A mediator is one that carries a burden. A mediator is a person that looks out there and sees somebody drifting. He can tell it. He can sense it in his spirit. And there's times in this church I have had sensitive feelings about people. They might walk in and shake your hand and smile. But oh, down in my heart I feel uneasy about people because I feel them drawing back. There is a drawing back. People are drawing back. And the Holy Ghost knows about it. And the Holy Ghost can put it inside of our heart to have a burden for you and to pray for you. When I don't see your hands go up for a while, when I see you start drifting backward and take a seat back there and back there and you end up on the back, I begin to worry about you. I said, when I don't hear a testimony out of you for a while, I begin to worry about you. I'm telling you, we need some mediators. I said, we need some people, prayer warriors, that'll have a vision and a burden, hallelujah, and say, be ye reconciled and get back. Come on back. We still love you. Could you raise your hand and praise the Lord? Well, see, Onesimus was around this. For they had church services all the time in Philemon's house. Who knows? Maybe Philemon said, Onesimus, son, go out there and get the chairs and bring them in and line them up for service. Holy Ghost giving all this to me. And help serve, son, when the crowds gather. Open the door for them. Make them welcome. He knew how his master believed. Onesimus knew how Philemon lived. He heard the prayers that went up, and he saw the close fellowship of the saints, the unity and the handshakes and the hugs. This good treatment of others wasn't for Onesimus. Hey, I got my own life. Leave me alone. I'm out of here. When you lose that close feeling that you have no more of a desire to be in church with your brothers and sisters, you're getting on dangerous ground. When you start missing church services, so you begin to draw back inside before you ever leave church. Actually, if people would look right down, God, show us your heart. We could see your heart far away. The feelings ain't there like it used to be. People backslide before they ever leave the house of God. What is it that has turned you? You did run well. Something got in your way. Can't feel anything in a handshake anymore. When I lose my desire to come to the house of God and give a brother a hug. I'm glad to be here tonight. Glad to see you. Bless you. Ain't God good? We're going to have service tonight. Been praying for you. We need some mediators. Holy. We need brothers with those holy hugs for a brother. We need them sisters to make their way around and handshake and a hug to the sister. And if you've lost that, you're already in a far country. God. Slip your hands up, would you? Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Well, and we also could look at it through the eyes of Paul. Paul was like our great Redeemer. How many knows we ought to be like our great Redeemer? He was a prayer warrior and he was an intercessor. Well, I know I've already said it. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. A mediator is a person who negotiates back and forth between parties to bring them together. A person who is a go-between, a middleman, to help bring two different people together again who had been separated. It means to help settle differences between parties and bring them together again in unity and harmony and agreement. To resolve the differences and to bring about peace. To help settle disputes and conflicts. I'd rather have peace in my heart than anything in this whole wide world. Joy and peace. And really, you could have no peace if there's no joy. And you could have no joy if there's no peace. 1 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Each one of us have a ministry to help bring people together. Together. Isaiah 58:12, the Lord gave me and Mary this as we was praying in the Spirit one time. I'll never forget it before we ever left Ashland. We was praying and the Holy Ghost came through and gave us a scripture. And I looked it up. And they that shall be of thee, Isaiah 58:12, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. And thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. the restorer of paths to dwell in. We are to help heal. How many knows God wants us to help heal up, bind up, fix up the holes and the gaps that the devil has caused in people's lives? You know what a repairer of the breach is? It's a seeing a hole in a wall. And you go get you some mortar and you daub up that hole. If you're out in the countryside and you see your neighbor's fence down and a big limb had just taken it down, your neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself. And you know he's got some precious head of cattle there. All his livelihood is in that head of cattle. Love says, there's a breach in my neighbor's fence. And it takes time out to go and drag the limb away and pull that stretch of barbed wire back and re-nail it so he won't lose his possessions. I'm telling you, love cares about others. Love cares about what you own and what you have. It cares not only about somebody's soul, but it cares about everything about that person. Cares about their future. How many would like to say, God, show me a hole and I'll daub it up? God, if you tell me to pick up a phone and call somebody, I'll do it. If somebody's low in spirit, give me the words, Jesus, and I'll pick up the phone. I'll dial the number, Lord, and I'll talk to them. There've been a lot of people saved by the art of a mediatorship. When somebody felt a burden for somebody else and picked a phone up, there would have been a lot of people, I'm telling you, out of the church had it not been for one phone call. We missed you. We love you and we're praying for you. I want to see you now tomorrow night in church service. A lot of marriages could be saved. A lot of church members could be saved when somebody will pick up the burden and have a desire to spread good news and good reports and say good things to the other. Now to the letter in Philemon, to Philemon. Let's pick up the story. Onesimus, when he left Philemon at Colossae, he went to Rome. We don't know now exactly how that he met Paul, but he was converted under Paul's ministry. Some people believe that Onesimus got in trouble and got arrested because Paul wrote the letter while he was in prison. He had to come in contact with Onesimus. Onesimus got arrested and was put in a jail cell beside of the great apostle Paul. Ain't you glad God's got everything just planned sometimes? Paul got to witnessing to Onesimus about Jesus and preached to him God's big plan of salvation through his son, and how that he could be cleansed from all of his sins and be forgiven. And no doubt, Paul helped Onesimus pray through and get the blood applied. So, now a conversation starts up, and they talk to each other day by day through the bars. Onesimus' conscience is bothering him. Huh? Thank God for our conscience that bothers us. How many is glad for your conscience that speaks to you? Onesimus' conscience is bothering him. He tells Paul the whole story of how and why he left the house of Philemon. How he did his master wrong. And Onesimus was getting ready to be discharged from jail. But now a new man. A new born again child of God. So Paul gets a burden for Onesimus, and he tells him what he must do and what's right. Son, when you get out of here, I'm going to write a letter to Philemon. And I want you to take this letter and you go back to the place that you left. You go back to your post of duty. Hallelujah. Go back where you belong. Get back where you were. Get back where God put you. Hallelujah. Get back to the call of God. Get back to the work of the Lord. You've drifted long enough now.
and I've helped you pray about it. You take this letter and you go back to Philemon. You tell him you're sorry. And I'm going to pray that Philemon's heart will be softened before you get there. I tell you what, we've got our part to play. If somebody says to us, I'm sorry, we've got to forgive them. But how can you forgive somebody unless they ask you and tell you they're sorry? Huh? You don't hold it in your heart against them, but you have to. In order for you to say, I forgive you, they're going to have to say, I'm sorry. They're going to have to make it right. How many knows that? If I did wrong before between me and the Lord, and if I held it in my heart and just say, well, the Lord knows. He knows all about it. He knows. No, I did wrong. I said wrong. I had a wrong attitude, and I got to pray and say, Jesus, please forgive me and wash me in the blood again, Lord. My attitude's been bad and wrong, God. I'm telling you, there's separations not between us and Philemon. There's separations between us and God. That's our problem. I'm telling you, you get it fixed up between you and the Lord, and I'm telling you, the fellowship will come. I said the fellowship will come. Hallelujah. When the blood of Jesus is applied, hallelujah, if you'll walk in the light as He's in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth you from all sin. There's fellowship and there's communion with our brothers and our sisters when we get it fixed up with God. And if that fellowship's not there and there's a drawback, there's something wrong between you and God. If I see no action out of you, there's a breach in your spirit. There's a hole that needs to be fixed up. There's a hole that needs to be fixed up. So Paul gets a burden. He tells him, you've got to go back. But evidently Onesimus was worried and afraid of what Philemon might say or do to him for the wrong that he had done. Paul begins to write a letter to Philemon, and notice Paul's very cautious approach. How that he writes to touch Philemon's heart. Did you know there's a right way to approach people? Love opens up the doors that no other way could be opened. That's a fact. You can't force people's hearts' doors open. There's something about a warm love that they just open it up for you. Huh? There's a way to approach situations. There's a way to approach people. Well, verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Notice how he starts to Philemon. Philemon, you know my manner of life, that I am the Lord's bondservant. And as a prisoner of love, dear brother, I write unto you. You know how the love of God constrains me. You know how, as an ambassador in bonds, that I reach out to every wayward soul to help redeem it. I'm a prisoner of love, Philemon. Notice he's going right directly to Philemon's heart. Paul knows Onesimus' very future is at stake and that his place was back at Philemon's house. So he has a way of entreating Philemon with a love like the Lord Jesus. A love that won't let go. That cannot be quenched. A love that never fails. A love that suffers long and is kind. How many has ever read 1 Corinthians 13? Charity never faileth. Paul was getting ready to send Onesimus back to Philemon with this very letter in his hand when he was finished writing. You must accept him back, Philemon. You gotta forgive him. He's confessed and he's prayed through. Receive him, dear brother, like Jesus did us when we were runaway rebels. Notice the wording, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I know you've been hurt, Philemon, but let the war be over between you and Onesimus. Let it heal up, Philemon, and let there be peace. Did you know it's good sometimes to speak up in behalf of another person? We all have a part to play in helping mend things up. It's hard not to want to please someone that really loves you when they instruct you. it's hard not to please them. Especially when you know that they're praying for you. Jesus said, blessed is a peacemaker. How many would like to be a peacemaker for God? This thing is more than a mommy going to daddy in behalf of Junior that's disobeyed and being punished for his wrong. Mommy says, come on, honey. You punished him enough. You've held it against him long enough. And daddy is entreated by a loving mother. And thereby it brings harmony back in a home. Daddy saw a mommy's love for her son. And it touched his heart. Mommy was the go-between and the mediator. The love of God will heal up hard feelings and divisions. Many people in this world today have had their families to show them the door, so to speak, and saying, leave and don't you never come back. And they hold hard feelings in their heart against one another. But, oh God, we need breaches repaired. We need some more intercessors and prayer warriors like Paul that will go the extra mile for a poor, lowly slave and a rebel. I guess you could say every one of us at one time or another, we've been a Philemon. We've been offended. We've had our feelings hurt. And someone let us down. And we fought a battle over it. We've all been an Onesimus at one time or another. We just plain got out of line. We wanted things our own way. We was arrogant and self-willed and we didn't want to listen to authority. You know, when you don't want to listen to authority, you're heading down the wrong track. True. So we showed a wrong spirit and we pulled up our roots and we walked out knowing that it hurt others. Verse 8 says, Paul says in the letter, and get a picture of this. Onesimus is standing before Philemon trembling. He made it back to Philemon's house. He knocked on the door, and there's Philemon. And with a trembling hand, Onesimus hands him a folded up paper, a letter. And he's trembling, and his heart is a-thumping. Verse 8 says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin, that means to command thee that which is necessary, convenient. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, I'm going to beg you, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beg, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Paul was saying, Philemon, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor as your spiritual father and as the apostle of Christ. I would have the right to charge you to do it in the name of Christ. That which is right. This is not the Spirit's way, though. I'm making an humble appeal to you, not forcing you. It must be done willingly. I want you to take Onesimus back. Remember, Paul had to build up Onesimus' hope before he left the prison because Onesimus was afraid. Look at the delicate work of the mediator. He had to talk Onesimus into returning. Talk him into it. Then Paul had to pray for Philemon that God would soften his heart when Onesimus reached him the letter. Onesimus could have run the opposite direction, but he wanted mercy. Raise your hand and say, thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Hallelujah. He could have run the opposite direction. Onesimus could have took that letter and wadded it up and threw it away before he got to Philemon. Now listen to me close. But Onesimus wanted mercy. And Philemon, when he was reading the letter, could have took it and ripped it up and say, no, you hurt me. And I'm not receiving you back. You wanted your liberty? It's all yours, big boy. Now you go. Did you know Onesimus could have lost his soul and backslid over that? Did you know that if the Spirit and Paul's prayers, the mediatorship of Paul, hadn't have prayed and softened up Philemon's heart before Onesimus got there, if that Spirit of God hadn't have conditioned Philemon, he would have ripped that thing up and say no. But the Spirit of God wants unity. And the Spirit of God wants forgiveness. God had already, the Spirit of God, Brother Gary, had already worked on Philemon. It worked on Onesimus. I want to come back. I never realized how good I had it. Like the prodigal son. When he came to himself, he said, I'll arise. I'll get out of this hog pen. I've had enough of the swine. I've had enough of the slop. I'm coming back for mercy. Raise your hand and say, I'm glad I came home. I'm glad I came home. I'm glad I came back to the Father's house. Oh, Lord, I'm coming back. I'm coming back with a letter in my hand, written in the blood of Jesus. I come, my Father, back to you. Holy, holy, holy. And I know that you'll forgive me. Forgiveness on God's part and forgiveness on our part. You see, we could hold people out of the kingdom of God. We wouldn't have to say a word, but we could hold back inside and hold people out. Now, this thing goes deeper than you really realize. People really know if you love them and you care for them or not. People can go around, shake hands and everything, and who ain't got out of line? Who ain't done wrong? Who in here has been perfect? I ain't perfect. Come on. I'm striving to be with my heart, want to be perfect before God and not offend anybody. But you can go around, you can shake hands, different ones. But if that love ain't in that heart, he could tie up a service. That's how sensitive the Holy Ghost is. There's a hole back there because maybe one person in that congregation is a holding back and not forgiving somebody and holding something over their head and holding hard feelings and holding resentments. I tell you, don't ask me why in the world I've got this morning. I honestly don't know. With my heart, I hold my hand to God. I had nobody in intentions or in mind or even in thought. But we can have hard feelings in our heart and resentments. And it absolutely can keep people from getting closer to God. It can keep people from getting victory. How many knows you've got to have a love in your heart to help others get victory and get forgiven? Well, it comes down to one thing. Do you want reconciliation? Do you want to come back? Do you want the gap closed up? Do you want the hole patched? Do you really want mercy? Do you want God's forgiveness? Do you want others' forgiveness? How many in the church would want God to fix everything up? Lord, fix my heart. Fix my heart. Fix my heart. That's the crux of the whole message. Fix my heart. Fix it, Lord. I walked out. Fix it. I want to come back. Fix it, God. I heard him or I heard her. Fix it, Jesus. I'm going to him. Fix it before I get there. That they'll put their arm around me and say, yeah, I forgive you and I love you. I ain't lost any love for you. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying, I'm the great mediator that sits right to the right hand of the Father. And I see the prodigal a long way off. And my Father said in the words, says, my Father seeth that prodigal coming and says, he runs to meet him and falleth upon him and kisses him. Amen. And so go and get the fatted calf. Kill the fatted calf and bring forth the best robe and put it on my son. He was once dead, but he's alive. Again, he's alive again. He was once lost, but he's found. He got up like Onesimus
and said, I got to make my wrongs right. And he prayed to the Lord and got the blood applied. He said, I'm going back to the place I left. I'm going back to the church I walked out on. I'm going back to those that really love me. I'm going back to the family of God that really love me and care about me. I'm coming home. I want it fixed up. Don't walk out of here this morning without God fixing you. Don't walk out of here. Because I found out each time that you say no to the Spirit of God, that gap gets wider. It automatically does. The wedge goes farther. The love of the world increases greater. The magnet of the world gets stronger upon you. And when you've lost your desire to be reconciled, there'll be another desire to take you over. You'll either have God or you'll have the devil, folks. You'll either have victory or you're going to have destruction. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. I don't know where I'm going with this, God. I honestly don't. You can have victory. You can have love and forgiveness, Brother Tom. You can have the blood applied. And you can have peace. I don't know. But in my heart, I believe Philemon reached over there and said, Onesimus, you look different, son. You must have been praying. Onesimus said, yeah. He said, man, he said, I met a man called Apostle Paul in a prison cell. He said, I've never felt love. So when that man prayed and began to talk to me, he said, my heart began to turn flip-flops. And he knows you. And he said, he knowed Philemon. And I told him I was from your house and how that all the church services and how people raised their hands and how they shouted the glory of God down. And I can remember the people are praying there and they kneel at their seats and everything. And Apostle Paul said he knew you. And he told me to come back to you. And he said that you would have mercy. You would forgive me. And Philemon, you know, that big old heart of his swelled out. He was a devout man and a holy man and a humble man. I believe he reached over there and put his arm around Onesimus' neck. And he said, you come on back in, son. I'm going to adopt you as my son. And you don't have to be a slave or a... I don't believe he returned back to slave ship. I believe he adopted him as a son. How many could say amen this morning? Oh, hallelujah. And Paul wrote in the letter to that effect. Help me find that. Where was that? Oh, Jesus. Verse 17 is, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. I want you to receive him, Philemon, like you would if I would visit you. And if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Look down at verse 20. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. And on there's one place there, he said, for he is profitable. Look down now at verse 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was what? Verse 11. In time past he was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. That is mine own bowels. Oh God. Paul was making a heartrending appeal to this noble, well-to-do slave owner in behalf of this wayward slave. Philemon, I'm an old man. I've been through many storms for the souls of men. And I serve my master in chains. Philemon, listen, Philemon. I know if you could, you'd be only too willing to set me free. Listen, Philemon, you can't set me free, but you can set Onesimus free. Philemon, you're just as much my spiritual son in the gospel as Onesimus is my spiritual son in the gospel. Philemon, I won you both to the Lord. I don't know if y'all feeling anything or not, but I'm feeling him. We're all three on the same level ground, Philemon. None of us are above the other, Philemon. We're all God's children. Philemon, all three of us, me and you and Onesimus, we're washed in the same blood, and we have the same spirit. do me a favor. Forgive Onesimus and receive him back. How many knows it's all level ground beneath the cross? Nobody's head's above the other. There's no great I's and little U's. It's all level ground at Calvary. Raise your hand and wave it to the Lord. I tell you what, I feel His divine presence. Thank you, Jesus, for this lesson. Thank you for this lesson, God. Thank you for the Word. Holy Philemon, I preached and Jesus saved you. I preached in that jail cell and Onesimus prayed through. Now we're all three washed in the same blood. And we're going to have the same love one for another. Tom, love's what makes the world hang together and hold together. Love is what's holding this old world together this morning as I'm up here preaching. Philemon could have said, that's my slave, my worthless runaway thieving slave. Not anymore, Philemon. He's my own son in the gospel like you. Which was in time past was to the unprofitable, but now he's profitable to you. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, like you would mine own heart. Philemon, if you insist on keeping him as a slave, I want you to know he's a brand new slave and he'll work his fingers down to the bone for you right now. Woo! I'm telling you, I'm sending him back to you, a new man. I'm sending him back to you, Philemon, and his heart's different. It's changed. He told me before, he looked through the bars and said, Paul, if Philemon will receive me back, I'll do him a double duty. I'll clean his house, and he'll be a lot cleaner than it ever was. I'll get the chairs out when church service rolls around, and I'll anoint them with oil, and I'll put them in a line. And when the door opens and that first saint of God walks in off in the street, I'm going to shake his hand and hug his neck. Hallelujah. Because my heart's changed. I got a desire now. I got a desire for Philemon's house. I got a desire to please my master. I got a desire now, amen, to worship with my brothers and my sisters. Philemon, he'll work his fingers down to the nubs for you now. I'm sending him back to you. He loves you, Philemon. Oh, you ought to heard him pray when he prayed through and said, I'm sorry, Lord, for how I've done my master. And if you'll just let me make it up, I'll make it up to you, God. How many knows we need to make some things up to God this morning? We need to make up things with God this morning. Well, now, it was legal back then for them to have slaves. Colossians 3:22, Paul wrote to the Colossians, servants, obey. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. True Christianity will make you respectable. It'll make you responsible citizens. You will treat others right. No matter if you're a servant or you're a master. If you're a foreman or a janitor. If you're a dad or a son. A mommy or a daughter. If you're rich or poor. You will love and you will have respect for others. Paul had a burden for both of them, that both would do right. Both would treat one another right, not just one-sided. We have an obligation from the Lord to be humble, respectable members in the church. Listen, to be pitiful and compassionate, courteous, and have brotherly love. Being tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave us. Who hasn't got their feelings hurt? Who hasn't been let down? Who hasn't among you this morning got bent out of shape and maybe done and said something wrong? It's time now, before Jesus comes, to get back together, come together, and get reunited in God's love and unity. Let's forgive. Let's return fully to our post of duty. It comes down not to personal rights, but it comes down to Christian graces. It ain't human rights that's important. It's personal desires. But it's God's commands through Calvary's love that makes the differences. It ain't social or political issues that counts. It's spiritual and eternal values that's important. God was saying to Philemon and Onesimus both, you are both servants of the Lord now, and He is the Master. Obey Him and do that which is right. We are to esteem one another very highly in the Lord. Amen. How many loves His Word?